got Andy Perot here, who's joined us in the studio. Hey, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing really well here. I think kudos and congratulations are in order. You had a fantastic turnout for your photo op, I think you were calling it.
Yes.
One final kick at the can down on the side of the highway there.
Yes. Yeah,
really, really great idea, and people turned out in droves to support you and acknowledge you for the long winter by the side of the highway that you put in there on our behalf to let people know that it matters what happens to our woodlands and the clear cutting that's happening in our fields.
Yeah, and it's not. I'm not anti-farmer. I'm pro-tree. That's the bottom line.
I
love trees, and I believe that the trees and the children of the forest, all the wildlife, they deserve to survive. It's they're living, breathing, and we're related. So
absolutely. And if they're not thriving, then guess what?
Yes.
Maybe we won't be thriving in the next year or two or three, right? So we have to pay close attention to this. This is an extension of the canary in the coal mine, really. And so it takes people like you to point out to us that this has consequences for all of us, for the earth and for the air that we breathe and the water that we drink. And so I think we owe you a really big note of appreciation for sure for bringing this to our attention and being so steadfast in keeping it in our faces over long period of time.
Exactly. I was just afraid it was going to fade away into nothing. Yeah. And that would have really broken my heart. But we kept talking about it, and thanks to Louise and the paper and everybody, they kept it alive. Mm-hmm. And it was great. And people are still talking, and people will continue to talk. And it's going to be it's a battle, but I just want to tell the farmers that I don't think I see an end to this clear cutting, unfortunately, because the government were the ones who initiated the whole thing, and they're not about to stop it until the last tree falls, and it's a shame. Mm-hmm. It really is. And if I have to go back out next winter, I will. And
what was it that the provincial government initiated that actually spurred the farmers to consider that clear cutting was an actual financially viable option? Like, what did they change?
Why are we seeing this all of a sudden?
Well, it's just that the farmers used to pay a set rate for a wooded lot in a working field, from what my understanding is. But all of a sudden, the government decided, no longer. We're going to charge you if you have a wooded lot. We're going to charge you more money, like a working field,
really?
Instead. So they changed the tax on the farmers. So the farmers were in a bind. If I'm going to be paying taxes as a working field, I may as well make it work for me. And they went for it. Huh. But I think it's more, it reminds me remember the old saying, if little Johnny jumps off a bridge, you're going to jump off a bridge, you know?
Yes.
And it's a panic thing, and everybody wants to get a piece of the pie.
And they're worried about, there have been rumor after rumor about legislation coming in. We've had letters, we've had people calling, emails, and I keep replying. There is no, people think there's draft legislation, and there's nothing.
No, there's nothing. The government will not do anything because the last forestry survey was done in 2014. That's where we had our numbers of we should have had 30% coverage, forestry coverage, in our areas. And Castleman was down to 4.5, and that was in 2014. East Hawkesbury was at 12.5. Champlain was at 27.5 or something like that. But the next survey does not come out until 2020, every 6 years.
Wow.
So that's why the clear cutting really started earnestly at 2015. That's when they were coming. And you remember last summer, everybody was talking in town. The road, all the lumber we're seeing leaving. All the lumber.
Yes.
Where's it going? Where's it going?
Yes.
You know? And it never stopped. And it won't stop. And until maybe when I send all these pictures to Ottawa, and everybody's going to get one on the hill and saying, we need the trees. Plain and simple. Do something. If they could just leave something rather than being so absolute,
that's what I was remarking on tonight. Behind the crowd there were the barren fields, and we've all been driving by them all winter with snow on them.
Yes.
But now that the snow is gone and the sun was setting, and you could smell the sawdust in the air, you could smell freshly cut wood, and it was heartbreaking. And I was saying to Andy, it seemed like a brutal way to cut it. And I know it's not my land, and you know, like, you can't tell someone, but I'm just saying there wasn't a tree left, nothing on the border. No, it just, it was razed, you know, it was just,
I know. And I was there, there was six trees left in a certain little area. And I was standing across there, and I stood there while in one day there was 10 double trailers of lumber, and it was good lumber, going by me from that one lot. And then a big bulldozer went over, and rather than cutting it, it just pushed it over, and I could hear the cracking from where I was standing. Oh. And it broke my heart for the six trees. And I thought, if I was a tree, I was thinking, I made it. I made it. You know, I got away. Yeah. And you didn't, you know.
You know, there's that. I've tried to find it online because I look for quotes online, but there's that quote about there's something about if you live for today, you do something, but if you live for tomorrow, you plant a tree.
Yeah.
You know, that you do something that you will not see it mature, but you know that it will. But I think what you've done has made a big statement. I was saying to you when we were just earlier this evening, you know, I drove by you many times and many people drove by you, and it was like you were there for us. You know, we were all working, or all, not that you're not working, but we kept going about our lives. And it's like, that's what people are when they speak up. They're doing what maybe many, many people want to do, but don't have the courage, the time, or they're fearful, or they don't want to offend their neighbors. There's a million excuses why we don't speak up for what we believe in, but you were our placeholder.
Well, I had a few calls and from people saying, I would love to be there, but they were locals, and out of maybe respect for the farmers, or maybe they didn't want to get them mad or choosing sides. And she said, I'll be there in spirit. And I said, that's okay. And it happened quite a few times, and I understand it. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I'm not out to get anybody mad, but it's just that I love the land, and the land has been so good to me for like 61 winters going on 62, you know. And the least I can do is offer a winter in payment, the absolute least, you know. So.
Can you guys give us, Louise, you went down there to see the photo op, we're calling it, and Andy, obviously you were there. Give us an overview of what the mood was and how many people showed up, and you said there was a megaphone there, and so what and two policemen. So give us a description of how it unfolded and what the mood was and what was said, you know, like, and did, you know, what were people there to witness? What did they show up for?
Well, people arrived early, Andy. Like, I got there and things were in full swing, and I think I was there at about 3 minutes after seven, but
people were showing up at quarter to.
Wow. And people had things to say. When I got there, people were holding the megaphone and talking about saving the trees, and we've got to do something, and it's got to start somewhere.
And the GMO came up too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And actually, a gentleman talked to me, and he asked me, he said, Andy, if and when that land ever gets ready for planting, would you hate me if I try to rent it? And I said, no, because I know the man's an organic farmer. And that would, I don't hate the land. I'll admit that was a favorite spot of mine, but it's just that it was a point, it was busy road, and it's just that it's happening everywhere, and it just happened to be in my backyard, and I had to go, you know.
Yes.
But the police were very nice. I called up to get the go-ahead, and I got the go-ahead from Champlain. Then they called me again tonight around 5, said we're going to send one or two cars to make sure everything's good and this and that, and they were fantastic.
They were very, very nice. They were really warning people. I mean, people were parking at quite a distance because you had quite a few cars. I think there were around 100 people, maybe 50, 60 cars.
Yeah.
Wow. And they were kept saying, ma'am, get off the road. You know, people were kind of crossing the road, and they closed the highway for a short period.
Really?
And then they said, we're opening up the highway. These cars may not slow down. They're coming at 80. Be very careful. Yeah. They were really, really, I found them courteous anyway. I mean, it's a bit.
They were fantastic. They really were. And the crowd was good too, because when we all headed over, but I felt like we were a herd of deer heading across the road, you know, for one last shot. And it was nice. The people were super. They cared. They cared about the trees. They cared about the land, and it showed in their faces and the different people showing up. And it wasn't just coming to say I was there. They really cared, and that was beautiful. You know, almost made me want to cry.
No, it is. It is. That's what I said. It's a hard thing, and you're certainly not judging people for not being there.
Oh,
and,
no, not at all.
But it is. I think it's easy to sort of speak out on Facebook and you make a comment and then it disappears. But to really take a stand, even write a letter to the editor. I mean, it's in print and it is there forever.
Yeah.
And it's an important thing to voice an opinion without, chastising or judging anybody else, whether it's about drinking water, the environment, trees, whether it's about zoos and elephants. We've had lots of comments on those things.
Yes.
And I think that's it's a part of who we should be as a people, to be able to care about those things and let other people know. You know, sometimes you feel like you're the only one, so you don't do anything. Yeah. And I think tonight people were looking around. I think that was the glow on people's faces, that they were looking around at each other and thinking, oh, she cared enough. You know, I heard my name probably 20 times tonight. Hi, Louise, like people, I know they wanted me there for the paper, you know, but they, just that everybody was so friendly toward each other in a, in an interesting way, you know.
It was a beautiful group of people. It really was. And it surprised me. It really did. It knocked my socks off. And
what was your idea for this last sort of show of support? Is it really to document what you've been doing?
It was, I don't know. It just came to me. I figured the 13th to separate, it sort of, it represented the 13 full moons of the year. And at dusk like that, it's just that I figure that's where we are with our world right now. We're at the tail end, like it or not. And I don't like, you know, saying doom and gloom and all that sort of thing, but we've been very hard on this land for a very long time. And it's just that I find that the clear cutting at this magnitude couldn't have come at a worse time, with the global warming and the carbon emissions and the climate change. Because every time I turn on the radio or watching TV, oh, we broke a record again. The last one was 1953 for the latest snow, the hardest snow, the most snow, latest, and the heat. And it's going to be a hot one, you know?
Yes.
And I just feel that it's almost like the government decided to kick the land once she was already down. And that's what really hurt. And I'm not blaming the farmers. They're boxed into this. That's what they're doing. I still get people railing at me, and that's why I had to get off the road, because the anger that I was picking up from the people coming by just wore me down. After 4 months, I couldn't take it no more. I sort of pick up on stuff from people, and then the odd person threw something at me and stuff. And I thought, okay, it's time. I got to go, you know. And but I'm not angry at the farmers, and I'm not, you know, I just, I love the trees, and I refuse to sit quietly and stand by when these trees that have been so good for us for so long, they've been dear friends, they've given us shade and everything else, without saying a word
and
without
shelter,
doing
and
a
shelter.
Thing,
yeah.
You know, to say, hey, they're living creatures, and the things and the creatures that live below them and in their limbs and everything else, all the birds and all everything else, it's a whole ecosystem down there, and it's disappearing before our eyes as if they don't count. And they do, really do, you know, so. Anyway.
Well, I feel I'm going to be 1 second of self-indulgence. Yeah. I've heard your message already earlier this week on Monday night in Ottawa from Jane Goodall, and I feel like I'm sitting with another person who has beliefs. She talked about creatures and trees and asked this question, which I mentioned in the paper this week. When did we stop thinking that animals, that creatures had feelings? When did we stop? And, you know, I know how you feel about trees, but I just...
Oh, no. Everything else. It's. But I couldn't... Originally, I fought for the wildlife, and they're very precious to me, but then I was talking to my brother, John, and he says, to get a response, you have to go for something that everybody has, and it was after the water in the wells, which got people thinking and talking, and that hit home. But everything that flies, swims, crawls, and walks on this planet is so precious. I'm hearing from different people. One person said, well, I used to see 10 or 15 deer in my field. Now I'm seeing 45. They're running out of room. They don't have anywhere to go. They want to start moose hunting in La Rose Forest because of the overpopulation of the moose. But they don't, nobody cares. It's like collateral damage. And that's what I find is, for myself speaking up against the clear cutting, it almost seems that the people living in rural Ontario are collateral damage along with the wildlife. Because we're meant to be seen but not heard. Do not, if you're not a farmer, do not say a word, because this is our world. But it's not. It's really not, and it's all our world. And I hate that something's going to give, And it's just that when the planet gets mad, she'll let you know it. And she's tired right now. She really is. And
Yeah. Well, is there any other message or anything you'd like to say to our listeners before you sign off for?
Plant some trees and bother your politicians, please. You know, send them a letter, send them an email. Show them that we're still alive and we're still kicking and we care about the trees and wildlife. Bottom line, do something. Don't sit at home, you know?
That was a message Monday night from Jane Goodall. She said, find an action, and that every day there's lots you can do. You make choices every day about what you eat, what you buy, where you write, who you speak up to. Just do something. And she said, encourage your children as well, you know, to notice and take action. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I'm sure you've had an emotional evening, and yeah. I just appreciate you coming in and sharing all these important ideas with us.
Thanks for the invite, both of you. Thank you so much. And
thank you, Andy. Really appreciate you coming in.
Have a good show.
And congratulations
thank
again
you.
For
yeah, and thank
organizing
you.
That. Yeah, and thank you too.
Thank you.